to Grace and Glory, the radio ministry of Grace Valley Christian Center, featuring biblical teachings of the Christian faith with Pastor P.G. Matthew, Bible teacher and former professor in Greek and theology. Pastor Matthew holds degrees from Westminster Theological Seminary, and he pastors Grace Valley Christian Center in Davis, California, adjacent to the University of California at Davis. Join us today for a special Father's Day message, Father's Counsel. If you have your Bible with you, turn with us to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 1. Now here's our teacher, Pastor Matthew.
Today they say is the Father's Day, and so we especially think about our Heavenly Father, from whom, St. Paul says, his whole family in heaven and on earth derive its name, whose rule we delightfully embrace, under whose protection we live, and by whose provision of daily bread, spiritual and material, we are nourished. But we also salute all fathers in our midst, whose passion it is to emulate our Heavenly Father and perform their various God-given responsibilities to the glory of God. Let's look at a Hebrew family. In a Hebrew family, the father had the maximum authority, and it was his responsibility to rule the family, to conform the terms of God's covenant. He was accorded, in the family, he was accorded the most respect, authority and respect. And his responsibilities were first, as I said, rule for God, to call every member of the family to conform to God's covenant terms. That's his responsibility. Secondly, his responsibility is to function as a priest, to call his people to worship the true and living God without fail. Thirdly, he had this function of a teacher, that he must teach everyone who is under his care. Fourthly, he must provide for every member of his family. And as I said last time, if a believer does not provide for his own family, he is worse than an infidel, a pagan. Finally, it is his responsibility to protect every member of his family. So all members are to submit to him. And you see that in the epistles of St. Paul, as he deals with social relationships. All members are to submit to him. All members are to honor him. And according to the scripture and Hebrew tradition, wife is not the head of the family. Neither children lead the family. I spoke yesterday morning about how in modern homes the child is leading the family. The child says something, and the wife embraces, and the man buckles. That has nothing to do with the biblical family. Then I said, you know, some people are tall and bulky who are fathers. I said, bulk doesn't mean much if bulk buckles. I have seen tall people and bulky people and big people. Doesn't mean anything. Unless you are a ruler and rules for God. Unless you lead rather than be led by the whim and desires and fancies of that kid. We have come a long way in our culture from the biblical pattern. But I must confess, not for the better. And so you now understand something about Heavenly Father from this idea of the Hebrew family. So let's turn to Matthew 6 and verse 33. Notice here, Jesus says, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek ye first God's rule, because he is the Heavenly Father. absolute authority. He has and he deserves absolute respect. Total worship and adoration of him and total submission to his authority. That is the most important issue. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But I also said in a Hebrew family, the father has some responsibility, and Heavenly Father assumes that responsibility to everyone who acknowledges him as Lord and worships him. And so notice that all these things will be what? Added unto you. It's his responsibility, and he will do it. He will give you bread. He will give you protection. Because look at verse 32. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. You see, Heavenly Father assumes his responsibility. He knows that you are his children, and you need bread, and he will provide it. So he says in verse 31, look at verse 31, so do not worry, because you are the children of the Heavenly Father. Just like a Hebrew father in a Hebrew family assumed that responsibility of providing for and protecting all under his care. In the same way, our Heavenly Father knows what his responsibilities are and what you need, and he will grant it. But you seek to surrender to him, worship him, come under his absolute rule. That's your responsibility. Now let's look at this aspect of a father as a teacher. The idea of education in a family. One of the many responsibilities of a father is children's education. Children are to be taught to know the Lord who delivered his people from the bondage of Egypt. They must learn of this Yahweh, maker of heaven and earth, maintainer of heaven and earth. This Yahweh who is the savior of his people. They must be taught most of all, in other words, fear of the Lord. This is the beginning of wisdom. They must be given the knowledge of the Lord. And so, Deuteronomy chapter 6, we are told the responsibility of a father. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts, meaning you love it, you cherish it, you consider it as treasure, greater than all the gold of this world. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Serious responsibility that is given to a father in Israel. A father is responsible not only to teach children skills to hit the baseball, skills in cyberspace, skills to make a living. In a Hebrew family, that is secondary. But the primary responsibility is to teach children to love and fear the true God, Yahweh. What about this responsibility, fathers? Are your children taught to fear God and love him? Are they taught to conform in belief and behavior to the terms of God's covenant? Or are we all too busy in making money and teaching the children to acquire skills to make money? Do we believe the saying of the Western countries, money is the principal thing, therefore get money by all means? I was in Peking and Xi'an and Shanghai, and I saw those people working so hard, trying to make a buck. They're all working. They all believe money is the principal thing, get it by all means. They all believe prestige is the principal thing, get it all by any means. Power is the principal thing. Get power by all means. Beauty is the principal thing. Get beauty by all means. No, let me tell you, money is not the principal thing. Power is not the principal thing. Beauty is not the principal thing. Recognition by the world is not the principal thing. According to the Bible, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom by all means. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge. And knowledge is the knowledge of the Lord. Knowledge is not a theoretical something in your head. Knowledge of a lot of facts. Real knowledge is a relationship with the living God. Communion and fellowship with the Lord of the covenant. Jesus said, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's your responsibility, fathers, to give education in the wisdom and counsel of God. And it is the will of God in Israel that this counsel, this wisdom, this gospel, this way of salvation is communicated from the Father to the Son, from generation to generation to generation to generation until the coming of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Psalm 78. Let me read to you what God is speaking to you if you are a Christian father. O my people, hear my teaching, listen to the words of my youth. I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter hidden things, things from of old. And what are these things? Verse 3, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. Notice verse 4, we will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. That's salvation, the gospel, His power, and the wonders He has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel when He commanded our forefathers to teach their children so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds. That's the purpose. Do not hide it, this wisdom, from your children. And my parents didn't do it. They declared it day in and day out. They impressed it upon our hearts. So the fathers are teachers, handing down the treasure, the heirloom. And what is the heirloom? It is wisdom. It is gospel. It is the fear of the Lord. That's the heirloom, the real heirloom. That's worth handing down. But now let's turn to Proverbs 4. Let me read to you from the beginning. Listen to my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, good learning, the real learning that the universities refuse to give it to you. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart, keep my commands, and what you will live. That's the issue, brothers and sisters. That's the issue. Living! Real living! Real living is knowledge of God. Let me tell you what time we should teach these children. Oh, it is written in the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. From infancy, you are to teach the word of God. Pray with the child, teach the child from infancy. Timothy was taught by grandmother, because I suspect the grandfather was a Gentile. And Timothy was instructed by the mother, Eunice, because the father was a Gentile. But the primary responsibility is grandfathers and particularly fathers. You love your child, then give this treasure, fear of the Lord, knowledge of the Holy One, that he may what? live. Live! Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. It is relationship with Jesus Christ that is life. He is life. Think about it, Father. From infancy. Let me tell you, where do you teach? In the home. According to the Bible, home is the place that you instill in your children love for God, fear of God, knowledge of God, and he can go to any place and he will live. Yeah. And number four, what are you teaching? Well, if you want to know, turn with me to this classic passage, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, where we read this. And how from infancy, you have known. See, Holy Spirit has a way of teaching you when you are an infant through the instruction of your father. That's divine miracle, isn't that true? And you begin to wonder whether he learns anything. Don't worry. Here it is said, from infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for what? For salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The 19th Psalm, this is what David says, verse 7, and following the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much fine, pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb, and so on. The real thing, brothers. Real thing, sisters. You will never impart this unless you love it, unless you cherish it, unless you treasure it, unless you value it above all things. You will teach them how to play softball because you love it. Baseball because you love it. You will teach them music because you love it. You will teach them ballet because you like to see your kid doing all these weird, contorted way of doing things. You love it. Let me tell you, family value, unless you value something, you will not hand it down through instruction and example. And so I challenge you, fathers, to love the Word of God and treasure it enough that you will impart it with all passion and commitment to your children. The primary purpose of education is to become wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Do your children fear God? Are they saved? Do they have faith in Jesus Christ? Will they go to heaven if they die tonight? These are questions you need to think about. Now, let me talk about the cost of this wisdom. If you want to acquire this wisdom, there is cost involved. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7 tells you this: wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. It doesn't say money is supreme, so get money. It doesn't say prestige is supreme, get prestige. Wealth or beauty, or power, or influence. It says what? Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. And it says, though it cost all you have, get understanding, let me tell you, it costs everything you have. It did cost everything for Moses. I said, why did he leave Egypt? Why did he refuse to have his prestige and power and position? Nobody leaves these things unless they have come to know something of greater value than that which he is forsaking. And the key is given, he saw him who was invisible. In all his glory and beauty, he saw God. And so he said, fine, I'll follow. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. That idea of cost is here stated. Matthew 13 and 44, it tells us this: the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, notice, joy, and not in his melancholy, in his gloom and in his misery, in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. It cost everything. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him. Total surrender to Jesus Christ is the cost. Deny yourself, take up the cross, follow me. Hate your own life, that's a cost. Why do you think you don't teach family value? It's because we don't value it ourselves. Because we know the cost. It is total surrender to Jesus Christ. It is selling everything. That's why I pray that God will open our eyes and give us such a revelation. Jesus told Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. My Father in heaven revealed to you that who I am. And once you are given that revelation, then you will do all things with joy. The total commitment and passion. And your preaching will change. Your talk will change. Your witnessing will change. You will talk all the time about this supreme thing. You don't download pornography and store it. You will download wisdom from heaven and store it in your head and your mind. You will guard your heart with all diligence. You don't watch television and be passive and acquire this nonsense into our heads. You'll turn it all off. You give your time and your life for the acquiring of wisdom, which alone is the supreme thing. And what about the responsibility of children? Those who are being taught, let's take a look at it. Chapter 2 of Proverbs. Let's take a look at it, children. My son, accept my words. Embrace it. Love it. Receive it. And what else? Store it in the storehouse of your heart, in the center of your being. Store it, because you may need it tomorrow morning. When there's a situation comes, when there's a conflict between Christ and something else, you need it. Store it, because it is treasure. Store it in your heart means love it. Meditate upon it. In other words, let it fall in a good soil. That is not arrogant but humble, prepared, ready to receive the engrafted word. What else does it say? Turning your ear to wisdom. Ear gate and eye gate. What are you listening, son? What are you listening, daughter? That beat and all that great music. What are you using your ear for? And what are you viewing with your eye? Something is going to come into the heart through the eye gate and through the ear gate, and it is going to get stored in the mind. So, is that what you do? Devoting your ear and devoting your eye to receive the wisdom of the Father's counsel? Now, look at verse 3, and if you call out for insight, cry aloud for understanding, you are praying, you are asking God, oh God, I want wisdom, I want knowledge of the Holy One. Give it to me, oh God, and the Bible says he will give it to you. He will not upbraid you, rebuke you because you came and asked for wisdom. He'll give you wisdom. Did you pray? Cry out, call out, pray. It says, what is our prayer? We want our prayer. Let me tell you, the essence of our prayer is, give me all good things in the temporal world. Give me job, give me this, give me that. Give me health, give me everything else. You don't pray for wisdom. That's the essence of our prayer. Give me a good time. Help me to have fun, oh God. I got up in the morning, I want fun. And I pray, give me a lot of fun. So, do you pray, children? Do you really cry out to God, seek God? That you may get wisdom. And not only that, it says, verse 4, and if you look for it as for silver, search for it as for hidden treasure. Do you search for it as hidden treasure? This is the most valuable thing. Therefore, it requires a lot of effort to dig it. You know, treasures don't come to you very easily. You have to dig it. You have to excavate it. You have to go through a lot of labor. And at the end, you get what? Wisdom. That's wonderful, isn't it? Are you doing that? And look at verse 5, it says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. There is the guarantee that if you do these things, you will receive wisdom and you will receive understanding. You will receive the supreme thing. And the entrance of wisdom into your life will transform you. And there's a guarantee. You will get it. It says in verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You see, he's the source of all wisdom. And his wisdom comes through the scripture, through the Father, into your mind. Now let me tell you, you may wonder, what is the use of this study of God's word and listening to my dad in modern times? What is the use? Fourth chapter of Proverbs, look at verse 22. For they are life to those who find them. Life. Life here and life hereafter. It is eternal life. It is life of a different order. It is not just eating and drinking. It is life in terms of fellowship with God here and hereafter. That's what life is.
You have been listening to Grace and Glory with Pastor Matthew. Join us next week as Pastor Matthew continues with his series on the Sermon on the Mount with How to Judge. You can receive a free transcript of today's program or a cassette for $3. You might want to get a pen and write down our address and phone number. If you're interested in one of our recent series, just call us now at 916-756-5255. We're available to take your call. That's 916-756-5255. Or you can write us at Grace and Glory, 27173, County Road 98, Davis, California, 95616. If you write us, be sure to include the date and subject of the requested program. And remember, we have a booklet available by Pastor Matthew on the topic of salvation. If you're not certain that you have the kind of eternal salvation you've read about in the Bible or heard about on this program, or if you'd just like to have something to share with a friend, call or write to us today and you'll receive this booklet as a free gift just for corresponding with us. And for you web users out there, look for Grace Valley's World Wide Web homepage at www.gracevalley.org. That's www.gracevalley.org. We delight to hear from our listeners. Please write us to let us know how you have benefited from this program. If you've enjoyed the ministry of Pastor Matthew, we invite you to come visit us at Grace Valley Christian Center. Sunday worship services are 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., with Sunday school at 9 a.m. Wednesday evening Bible study is at 7 p.m. Grace Valley Christian Center also offers nursery services, children's Sunday school programs, junior and senior high youth groups, and a college ministry. Visit us this week. Grace Valley Christian Center is on Pedrick Road, just south of Russell Boulevard in West Davis. From Sacramento or the Bay Area, take I-80 to Pedrick Road, travel north on Pedrick Road 4 miles, and Grace Valley Christian Center is on the right-hand side. We remind you that this is a listener-supported program. If the Holy Spirit prompts you to give to this program, we welcome your support. Join us next week at the same time for another segment of Grace and Glory, Biblical Teachings of the Christian Faith with Pastor Matthew. Don't forget to write and be sure to tune in next week.